Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed IT Services, delivering a comprehensive suite of managed services, including implementing, securing, and scaling applications designed for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
I can't believe it, the spring is finally here. I wasn't sure I'd live to see it, it's just been that kind of year. Oh, Marianne, I'm leaving town today. I'm sorry that it's taken me so long, I couldn't get away. The city's had me down, it's been so cold and bleak.
This is Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. Singer-guitarist Howard Fishman has played everywhere. Concert halls, jazz venues, hipster rock clubs, even honky-tonk roadhouses. Well, this week he'll be playing one of the nicer venues. As part of their American Songbook series, Howard Fishman will interpret an evening of Bob Dylan's basement tapes at Lincoln Center this Thursday night. So how did the downtown band leader who got his start at the Algonquin Room find his way to the most Dylan of Dylan albums? That's what we'd like to know, and so we bring Howard Fishman back to our Soundcheck studio. Howard, welcome.
Hey, John.
So this week's show at Lincoln Center, it's kind of a follow-up to something you did last Memorial Day, where you did three nights at Joe's Pub of the basement tapes, Bob Dylan and the band. Why then, when you hadn't done any Dylan up until that point?
Well, it's music that I've always liked a lot, and I recently came across Grail Marcus's book, The Old Weird America, which I read when it first came out under a different title called Invisible Republic, and it deals with Bob Dylan and the band's basement tapes and sort of the context that that music came out of, and it talks about it in a way that it sort of says, you know, this music is very unique in the world of Bob Dylan. There's really nothing else like it, and in the world of popular American music, there's really nothing else like it. And it made me go back and listen to those recordings again, and not just the official basement tapes LP that Columbia released in the 70s, but the unofficial but pretty widely available 5-CD thing called the Genuine Basement Tapes, which is a bootleg. You can get it legally, but
right.
It's I'm probably not supposed to say that. But I went back and listened to that stuff, and it just confirmed for me everything that Grail says in his book. And I just thought, wouldn't it be cool to present this music to the public, who most of whom probably have never heard most of this stuff. And I approached Bill Bragan at Joe's Pub about doing a marathon performance of all that material, which is somewhere between 60 and 80 songs. And he said, yeah, sounds great. How many nights do you think it'll take? And I said, well, we'd probably do it in three nights. So that's how it started. And
that is a big undertaking. Now, I mean, just from what you've already said, you know, Grail Marcus writes this whole book, not about Bob Dylan, not about his music, but about a single record. I mean, people are really serious about Bob Dylan's music. That had to be kind of an intimidating thing to take on at some point.
It was a little bit intimidating, especially because there are a couple of songs that are talked about in Grail's book and were not part of the official release, but have come to achieve this sort of mythical status in the world of Bob Dylan. Songs like I'm Not There, 1956, which is a lot of people consider to be like this great lost Dylan masterpiece. So the idea of me, you know, anybody else really coming to a song like this and having the gall to sort of do it, I was a little bit intimidating to come to material like that.
All right, so I'm Not There, 1956. First of all, the title, you know, it has 1956 in parentheses at the end of the title. I haven't seen a really good explanation for what that is.
Nobody knows.
Okay, so the whole song is as they say, a mystery wrapped in an enigma.
Yes.
And you're trying to plumb those depths.
Yes, and the original recording, part of the mystery within the mystery is that not only can you not hear the song very well because of the way it was recorded, all that stuff was recorded
Literally in a basement.
Yeah, but the lyrics are kind of mumbled.
Uh-huh.
So it, it involved a certain amount of interpretation on my part to sort of even make a song out of it.
All right, let's hear what you did with it. Howard Fishman is my guest, and this is some of his take on Dylan's The Basement Tapes.
And the day makes her lonely, but to me it's hard to buck. I was there. Yes, I believe that she'd stop him if she would start to care. I believe that she'd look upon the side and to care. And I go by the long way, she's on my way, but I don't belong there. No, I don't belong to her.
I'm Not There, 1956, a song from Bob Dylan and the band and their iconic session known simply as The Basement Tapes. Howard Fishman has taken on the task of reinterpreting a lot of this music and will be doing so this Thursday as part of Lincoln Center's American Songbook series. You could certainly make a case for a number of Dylan albums being part of the Great American Songbook. Why The Basement Tapes and not, for example, Blood on the Tracks or Blonde on Blonde or one of those records?
Well, to me, I kind of felt like it was more interesting to do something that most people hadn't heard before. Everyone's heard Blood on the Tracks and Blonde on Blonde and in a lot of Dylan albums. And to me, I felt like it was something that I could give back in terms of my own debt to Bob Dylan to share this great music that, for one reason or another, he's never sort of seen fit to release and share my own love of it. And that's how that came about.
Let's back up for just a second and tell the story of The Basement Tapes. It's not just Bob Dylan.
Right, not at all. It's Bob Dylan and the band, who at that time were known as the Hawks. And the Hawks were Bob Dylan's backing band in 1966 when he went on tour. And a lot of that footage was captured and shown again in Martin Scorsese's recent documentary, No Direction Home. And they were doing these crazy shows, and they were getting booed, and things were getting thrown at them, and they were leading this wild lifestyle. And so if you've seen that movie, No Direction Home, it sort of ends very abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't sort of know really what happens, and you sort of want to know what happens next. Well, The Basement Tapes is what happens next. It's exactly where that leaves off, and this begins. And Bob Dylan has a motorcycle accident or something. We don't really know quite what happened, but something happens that causes him to cancel the rest of his dates, move up to upstate New York to West Saugerties near Woodstock, which at the time it was before the festival, so it was not a well-known place, settle down with his family, and he brought his band along, and they rented a house down the road. And so they basically were there recuperating physically and emotionally from this crazy tour. And doing music that was the antithesis of what they had been doing on this tour.
So doing folk songs and old-timey music and just plumbing like different styles of American music, it seems.
Well, to me, The Basement Tapes, in a way, The Basement Tapes, the complete, because it's songs that they wrote together.
Mm-hmm.
It's songs that they are covering. And it's everything from old folk songs from 17-whatever
right.
to Curtis Mayfield.
Right.
So in a way, it's sort of like the American Songbook is right there in these complete sessions. It's everything.
And there is what we can do, I think, is maybe we can dip into a little bit of the original Basement Tapes and hear Bob Dylan and the band doing Crash on the Levee. Later renamed Down in the Flood. And then we can hear what you've done with it. But first, here's the original from the iconic recording, The Basement Tapes by Bob Dylan.
Crash on a levee, mountain, water's gonna overflow. Swamp's gonna rise, no boat's gonna roll. Now you can train on down to Williams Point. You can bust your feet, you can rock this joint, but oh, mama, ain't you gonna miss your best friend now?
All right, there's Bob Dylan and the band from The Basement Tapes, and now here is my guest Howard Fishman performing the same song.
Yeah, the swamp's gonna rise, no boat's gonna roll. Well, you can train on down to
to Williams Point. You can bust your feet, you can rock this joint. But oh, mama, you're gonna miss your best friend now.
Howard Fishman and Crash on the Levee, or Down in the Flood. And it's funny how this song, with its lyrics, you know, Crash on the Levee, Mama, water's gonna overflow, swamp's gonna rise, no boat's gonna row. It's funny the additional layer of meaning that this song, those words have taken on in the aftermath of Katrina. I know you worked in New Orleans for a while, right?
I did. I lived in New Orleans for a few years. And when it came time to approaching this particular song and this particular set of lyrics, given what happened with Katrina, I just thought it has to be reapproached. There's no way I can play it as this jaunty blues the way Bob Dylan and the band do it. It's got to be reapproached in the context of Katrina. So we just did a little something different with it.
Right. Now, people who have seen you performing around town here in New York in recent years know that you really do a lot of work with sort of mid-20th century American popular music, sort of small band swing, popular songs, that sort of thing. In the sense that Dylan and the band were exploring all these different things, as you say, from blues to Curtis Mayfield, did you feel a sort of a kinship with the experimentation, the openness to different music that you hear in the basement tapes?
I felt a lot of identification for two reasons. One, because of the experimentation. One of the things I've always loved and really admired most about Bob Dylan, as much if not more than his talent as a songwriter, is his willingness to stretch as a musician and stretch stylistically his boundaries and his curiosity. Yeah, very much I related to that. And for me, that's really what it's, you know, that's what it's about. That's what the Basement Tapes is about. It's just having a curiosity and not really caring too much about, you know, is it this or is it that or is it this?
Right. So just as he was doing all these different types of things, you're perfectly willing to go from Bob Dylan to Johnny Mercer to whatever, to original pieces.
Sure.
One of the things that Dylan and the band did was an old murder ballad called Pretty Polly, which is probably English. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's still a version of this in England.
Yeah, it's actually, it's not known whether Dylan and the band actually did Pretty Polly during the basement tape sessions. He certainly recorded it in his early days when he was just working as Bob Dylan. And the reason that it was included in this project that I've done and on the CD that's just coming out is because it's talked about in Grail Marcus's book in the context of where this music, the Basement Tapes, is coming from. And he talks about it very eloquently and to a great extent. So I felt it was important to include in the project.
You not only included it, it's almost half the project. It's like an epic 15-minute version of Pretty Polly. Let's dip into just a little bit from Howard Fishman.
I used to be a rounder. I stayed around in town. Yes, I used to be a rounder. I stayed around in town. I courted Pretty Polly. She was the prettiest thing around. Oh, where is Pretty Polly? Over yonder she stands. Yes, where is Pretty Polly? Over yonder she stands. Rings on her fingers, on her lily white hands. Yeah, she got rings on her fingers, on her lily white hands. She got rings on her fingers, on her lily white hands.
Well, you can just tell from the way Howard Fishman is singing this that this song will not have a happy ending. A definite air of menace in the version of Pretty Polly that goes on for a quarter hour in Howard Fishman's retake of Bob Dylan's Basement Tapes, although, as I understand it, Howard, from what you were saying, this isn't an official part of the Basement Tapes. It's kind of a musical appendix.
Right. It's just really there. It's part of the project that I'm doing because the project really drew as its inspiration this book by Grail Marcus about the Basement Tapes, and he talks about Pretty Polly in that.
Okay. As we mentioned earlier, you first did this here in New York last Memorial Day. There is an album, a recorded version of some of this music, which is going to be available.
It's available right now. Okay. It just came out this week.
So it's available in time for the Thursday gig at Lincoln Center. But concurrent with that, you've been working on an album of original tunes and an album of Hoagy Carmichael songs. So, I mean, this seems, is this like the full spectrum of what you do? And what is the thread that's connecting these three projects?
Well, I guess these three projects are just sort of what's happening in the first 6 months of this year, and it just seems to be a lot of activity right now. But yeah, it's going to be my fourth collection of originals, and these originals I'm going to debut at Joe's Pub on March 10th, and it's a song cycle sort of based on my travels in Eastern Europe. I recently put together last year my original quartet. I reassembled those great guys, and we did a series of shows devoted to the music of Hoagy Carmichael, so that project has been recorded. That's coming out. And then in May, I have a project called We Are Destroyed, which hopefully that'll get recorded too, although I don't want to be too ambitious and say that'll be the fourth CD of this year. But it's happening in May, and that's a whole other collection of music.
Wow. So you just don't stop. 15 minutes of Pretty Polly is nothing for you. Three albums coming out and a fourth one sort of lined up on the runway there. Howard Fishman is my guest. And again, his gig this Thursday is part of Lincoln Center's American Songbook Series and sort of inducting Bob Dylan and the band into the Great American Songbook via Howard's versions of the Basement Tapes. And you can get details on the soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Howard, a pleasure to have you back on the show today.
Hey, John, thanks so much. It's great to be here.
And that'll do it for this edition of Soundcheck. Tomorrow on the program, Rapping Under Fidel. The makers of the documentary East of Havana describe the struggle and challenges of hip-hop artists in Cuba. Also tomorrow, the music director of the Brooklyn Philharmonic, Michael Christie, joins us to talk about their exciting new season. There are many ways to listen to Soundcheck. You can check our archives and podcasts on WNYC.org, and you can email us, soundcheck@WNYC.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our program produced by Brian Wise, Alicia Abbott, and Allison Lichter, with help today from Audrey DeMola and Kevin Oliver. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatow, and our executive producer is Chris Bannon. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for another Soundcheck. Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.